Welcome back. 4:15, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by Washington Times political editor Stephen Dynan. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
All right, let's get to it. House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan presented his rewrite of the federal budget today, and I'm assuming you've read it all, and you'll probably recite it all from memory right now.
Yeah, it's not as big as the president's document, which runs to 600 pages or so. This one, the chief document's only about 99 pages, so a break there for all of us budget folks.
All right, so have you had an opportunity to kind of go over some of the major points?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Now there are a couple of things that big things that he does. He proposes changing the income tax system from the current 6 different tax brackets down to 2 different tax brackets, a 25% rate and a 10% rate. He proposes substantial cuts and holding the line on future increases, which in Washington sometimes are called cuts, but holding the line on future increases in Medicare and in a lot of areas of basic spending, proposes reducing Medicaid's expenditures over the next 10 years and on into the future by block granting that program back to the states. A lot of those are the same things that he had in last year's budget. The key thing to know about this budget sort of overall is that he took last year's budget, which passed the House but the Senate didn't take up, and basically, even though he got a lot of flack for that from including his own party, candidates like Newt Gingrich attacked last year's budget, Ryan basically took that budget and said, okay, here it is again. Even though it's an election year, even though I got flack for this last year, it's the right thing to do, so I'm putting it out again. So, you know, as much as anything, it's sort of a gutsy statement about what House Republicans are willing to argue over and debate over headed into an election year.
Yeah, I mean, this is cutting spending and cutting taxes. The Democrats must be going crazy.
Yeah, you know, in particular, the chief thing that Ryan got a lot of flack for, Paul Ryan, the Budget Committee Chairman, got a lot of flack for last year was his changes to Medicare, where he called for essentially what would be a voucher-like program, and he objects to the term voucher, but that's essentially what it would be, is it would give seniors essentially the ability to go choose from health care plans knowing that they'd have a certain level covered, and then they would essentially put their own powers of choice into the marketplace to try and hold down costs. This got a lot of attacks last year, and he's essentially putting something similar to that out again this year. And as you said, Democrats think that he's handed them a huge election issue headed into November. They believe that Medicare is still an untouchable program, and that seniors will be furious to hear that people are talking about changing Medicare, and future retirees would be furious about talking about changes to Medicare. House Republicans are betting that the deficit and debt are so bad that people are finally ready to talk about unsustainability in these long-term programs. So it's a great clash. You have these two very fundamentally different understandings of where Americans are, and you know the election will maybe sort that out for us.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Romney yesterday in the comments that I had of him from the University of Chicago, he was talking to the young people, and he said, you know, how can you vote for Democrats? We're the people, you know, meaning Republicans, we're the people who are going to, you know, cut expenses and try to reduce the deficit so you folks don't have to pay it somewhere down the road.
Yeah, you know, it's always been interesting to me, the groups that in some ways vote against their economic interests. And there's little question, health care, the entire Democratic health care plan amounts to essentially an effort to get young people into the system, make them have to pay expenses now so that health care becomes cheaper for everybody else. And, the fact that young people were cheering this as an ideological issue, I understand. As a as an economic issue, though, they were the ones who absolutely were essentially getting taxed or getting fees imposed upon them through health care. This may be something similar. You know, folks who are cheering for full payment of Medicare benefits, full payment of Social Security benefits, and all these programs that are unsustainable according to our current levels of taxation. education are definitely voting against their economic interests. Now, obviously, there may be an ideological interest they have there, and the same thing holds true, you know, on the other side of the equation for folks who lower income folks who are supporting tax breaks on wealthier, that may be against their economic interests as well. So it definitely goes both ways. But
yeah,
there's no question that young people may be voting against their interests if they support these plans.
Yeah, I wonder if the Democrats were surprised to see that in Ryan's bill, those defense cuts may not be there.
Yeah, then this is the other chief fight we're going to see is this stems from last year's deficit deal and the deficit super committee. Its failure to get a deal at the end of last year meant that these automatic spending cuts are called for in the debt control law. This is a big issue. We're going to have to see. Republicans say that they don't want those defense cuts, the automatic defense cuts, to go into place and have proposed a way to undo them. Democrats, as of right now, don't actually have a good plan pending in Congress to undo them. There are a lot of folks who think this is one of these things where everybody waits until after the elections, punts it to a lame duck session here in late November and December after the political pressure is off. And, you know, the House Republicans are saying, no, we don't want to wait that long. We want to make it clear we're not going to do that to the Defense Department, but I actually would probably bet on stalemate until then instead.
Yeah. The Senate ignored Obama's. This one, they'll probably just throw it in the trash.
Yeah. Well, what you're likely to see, same thing we saw last year, where the Senate Democrat, after, if the House is able to get this budget through the full floor, right now it's just a proposal. It'll go through the Budget Committee here soon and then onto the floor by early April. Once it goes through the House, the Senate Democrats will likely bring it to the floor and vote against it, hold a show vote to say nobody likes this, and Republicans will offer Obama's budget as an alternative. Last year, I think that was voted down 97-0 or something like that.
Right.
So you'll see another similar vote like that where nobody will actually embrace the president's budget, and the House Republicans' budget will actually get a decent chunk of votes, and we'll see what other alternatives people offer up. But the key thing out of this is that Senate Democrats have shown no willingness to actually put a full budget on the floor this year. Instead, they're saying that they will abide by the very limited discretionary spending numbers that came through in last year's budget deal, but won't actually put forward a broader vision to deal with entitlements and those sorts of things like Ryan's plan does.
Yeah. Harry Reid's got to take the hit on this. I don't know why. I don't know why Republicans just can't seem to capitalize.
On which part? On not putting out a budget himself?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a good question. I think you'll see a couple of those attacks develop here. The actual statutory deadline for the chambers to put out a budget is, I think they have to have it through their committees by the end of this month, and April 15th, tax day, is the deadline for Congress to produce a budget. When we get closer to that, I think you'll see Republicans stepping up that attack. But no, you're right. I mean, we're now past 1,000 days. The last time that the Senate Democrats had a budget, produced a budget, was in 2009. That was the budget that produced the protections that got healthcare done, and since then, you know, they've had all sorts of advantages. In 2010, they had 59 senators, and a budget only needs 50 to pass. So they could have lost 9 senators and still passed a budget through their chamber, and it didn't get done. So there's a lot of questions as to why they can't do it. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. One final note on something totally different, and that's the race in Illinois. It appears that all the polling information points to a victory by Romney. It also appears that Newt Gingrich is out of money. I saw the story a little while ago that he's officially in the red again. Santorum, if he doesn't win, I mean, this tonight's really important, isn't it?
I think so. Now, you know, Santorum's argument will be, oh, it's another one of these northern, not as conservative states, and so not as important to the strategy he has, which is winning these conservative middle America states. So he'll still have an argument that he'll be making, but just in terms of the delegate count, in terms of showing organization and that sort of stuff, it will be, if Romney does pull it out the way we expect, it will be a victory for him. In particular, Santorum had seemed to actually be fairly close in the polls maybe a week and a half ago or so. This will, if Romney does win and win substantially, it'll be another one of those states like Ohio and Michigan where Romney has pulled it out. His organization has helped him do exactly what you'd want a successful winning presidential candidate to do, which is rack up big margins.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll wait and see results a little later tonight, and I'm sure we'll probably talk tomorrow.
I'll be here.
Have a good one. Thanks, Stephen.
My pleasure.
Stephen Dinan of the Washington Times, 425 on 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth.